Actually, that did not happen first service, so I was just playing with y'all. I don't know if you're sitting like I do and during these worship services, and you're like, hey, and the speaker comes up, it's Josh, it's Linwood, whatever, and then they're kind of waiting for the lights. Does it happen? Like, do you go, whoa, in your mind? All right. It also happened this morning when I realized that I was in the midst of so many beautiful, wonderful mothers today. So happy Mother's Day. I'm specifically talking about this row right over here, but happy Mother's Day. Love you guys. People were asking me today, like, why are you wearing a suit? Like, that's kind of like, dude, you're wearing a suit. Like, you look good in a suit. I'm like, well, whatever, you know, whatever. But of course, the reason is because it's Mother's Day. And my mom, who's been gone 2 years now, and she liked it when I wore suits. And this is just one way that I like to honor her. Her favorite color was also blue. Still a rebel. No, it was pink. It was pink. Just to be able to honor our mothers today, what a special, special thing. And I know it's kind of tender, you know, sometimes, you know, our memories of our mom, or maybe, you know, even some of the relationships we have are kind of, you know, all over the place. But I promise you today, God is meeting you right where you are. And to honor our mother and our father, like he says, is a noble, noble thing. And thank you for sharing Mother's Day with us today. We're going to go ahead and jump into our citizens series. We are in like week number six, I believe. So we're just over halfway. Have y'all been enjoying the series? Yes. It's been good. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount, just a great, great thing, and pretty excited about it. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, 6, or 7. You take your pick, all right? I'm going to preach all of it today, all right? Actually, no, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, but you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. If you need one, they're in the seat in front of you. You can grab one there, or you can open your phone. But I will invite you to, if you are looking at your phone, go ahead and shut off your notifications and things like that, because I believe what Jesus has to say to us today is paramount to being kingdom citizens, something we can really digest and take to our hearts. And we've been talking about this for the last few weeks now, this thing that we've come to know as Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. Yes, because he preached it on a mountain. Great, great teaching for kingdom citizens that reveal the heart and behavior that we are to have as we live for Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And throughout the series, we've been asking this question. It's a reflection question, but I think it puts it in perspective. And here it is. Does my faith and my lifestyle reflect an allegiance to an earthly empire of any kind? We've talked about that. Or do I truly live as a citizen of God's kingdom, where he reigns and he rules and he is king? So, of course, as we talk about the sermon, we've talked about all kinds of different topics and things over the last month or so. But today, I want to focus in on a certain area that I think is so important for us. It includes things that we worship. Worship. When we talk about worship, we're talking about the things that we ascribe worth to, that we love the most in our lives. Worship. Worship is reflected in our choices, in our devotion, in our lifestyle. Worship is reflected in how we spend our time and our energy and our money and our thoughts. In a word, as Mike said earlier about love, worship is where our hearts are. Now, we reflect those things in all kinds of different ways and practices, but worship at its very heart comes from within, to our Heavenly Father. So today we're going to go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 6. All right, Matthew 6. So go ahead and flip over to that in your Bibles. And I hope you have it. In fact, reach down and grab it. Don't miss out on this. I'm really like I would love to see everybody right now, just with your nose down, looking at these words, because what we're going to see here is how kingdom citizens are people who worship God uniquely, worship God exclusively, and they put him on the throne, just like we've sang this morning, in every single circumstance in life. His kingdom, where he is the king. And the reason this is so important to me personally is because Matthew 6 is probably my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. I love Matthew 6. In fact, rarely a day goes by since the time I was baptized until today where I don't think about the words in this very chapter. They are life-changing, soul-shaping words. And I think if you know where I'm going for, in fact, my life verse is Matthew 6:33. And we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks, but it just, there's so much here for the citizen of God's kingdom. And I just love it. Now today we're just going to talk about the first part, the first 18 verses. And then we got two more weeks in chapter six alone. And I think as we crawl through this, you're going to see, man, it is so real. It's so practical. It's like right where we live, but yet at the same time, it's deep and it's rich. And we got to kind of process it and take it into the week and study it out and kind of figure out what exactly it means. So it's cool, really cool to me. It's not just cool to me, but hopefully you see that Jesus, as he lives out his life in his ministry, day by day, all through the scriptures, we see Jesus modeling the things that he is about to teach in his own life. I mean, you would expect that out of the Son of God, but he literally does. He shows us what authentic kingdom worship is all about, and it gets really practical. So as we read through Matthew 6, I want you to see that first of all, it's Father-focused. Jesus shows us this. It is Father-focused. It's not me-focused. Right? It's not about us. Kingdom citizens focus on the Father when it comes to worship. It's also, worship is motivated by love. All right? Not attention. It's not duty. It's not legalism. It's love-motivated. And then we're also going to see how it's lived out by abiding with or in communion with our Father in heaven. Worship. It's loving the God who first loved us. Again, as Mike said earlier, 1 John chapter 4. So Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18, we're going to go ahead and notice how Jesus not only approaches worship, but that he uses certain words that over and over again. And we know that when the Bible repeats something, it's important. All right. So you're going to want to highlight these words and kind of circle them in your Bibles. But make note of these words. Jesus is going to use them over and over again. The word Father, Father. Here in the Aramaic, it means Abba. It's a very personal, very intimate term. It would have caught his audience by surprise. Father. Over and over again, we're going to see that. We're going to see him using the phrase, when you. So when you, not if you. Like, this is common practice in his day. All right, this was expected of the kingdom citizens he was talking to. When you. Also, the term in secret. In secret means a secret places. So, it's a secret, all right? No. And the word reward, we see this over and over again. You're going to see this at different examples. This word reward, meaning that you get payment or applause for. It's really cool. So remember those words. He also puts a bullseye not only on the key practices, or on key words, but on key practices in Matthew 6. Practices that every kingdom citizen can use to worship and to grow closer to God, with the goal being to fall more in love with God, to understand him and love him and know him more deeply. So he's going to talk about giving, praying, forgiving, and fasting. Those four practices. Now there's many more. In fact, we did a few of them this morning already. We did communion, we did worship, songs, and things like that. But Jesus focuses on these four things. And here's the thing I need you to know today as we go through this. God's not keeping score. All right, this isn't about performance or anything like that. In fact, you don't even have to do these things. The question is, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want to worship God in this way? I mean, think about this. And we've been celebrating him all morning long. We have a God who created us, created the heavens and the earth. God who everything, man, just pray. Just stop for a second and just imagine for 1 second the enormity of God, the creator. And he loves you. He loves you. In fact, he loves you enough that he sent his one and only son to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for your sins and mine and to rise from the dead so that we can have life in him. That's the God that we see in scripture. He created us. He loves us and he desires to be with us in this life and for all of eternity. So what is our response to a God who loves that big, that much, that deeply, that intimately? What is our response to God's love? The response is worship. We love him back. We want to be with him. I hope you crave to be with the Lord, to live in his love, and to love him with all of your worth because he gave his all for us. And this means that we're going to do the things that help us to fall more in love with him every day and communicate that love Love to the God who first and always loved us. That's worship. And I really believe that's the point of Jesus' message throughout the whole sermon, and especially when he's talking about these four things. So in Matthew 6, he's given us these powerful spiritual practices. All right, they're practices that Jesus himself practiced to draw near to his Father, and practices that even 2,000 years later, we can still experience in our own lives, and they're still as powerful as ever. So as we listen to Jesus today, again, I pray that you don't hear a checklist of things that you need to do, more things to add to your everyday. Man, instead, I pray that you'll see the heart of a Father who wants to spend time with you. That's why he's given us these practices, ways to draw near to him in worship. So let's take a look. Matthew 6, verse 1, this is for people of God's kingdom, all right, citizens. And the first thing he does is issue a warning. All right, interesting. Verse 1, a kingdom warning, like citizen alert, like beware, 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 like the red light's going off. He's like, he's catching his audience here. Beware of practicing your righteousness. Beware of these practices. Beware of doing these things, of even worshiping before other people in order to be seen by them. That's not worship. That's a show. Okay, be careful. This is a heart check. He says, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Be careful. Jesus is issuing a warning here. It's a jumping off point for the practices he's about to teach about, because worship practices, if we are not careful, worship practices can become a religious duty. They can become a show. They can become about everybody else and not about God at all. And in Jesus's day, the examples that he's given here in Matthew 6 of giving and praying and forgiving and of fasting, they were part of the normal everyday Jewish life. They're expected of kingdom people. But the danger is that in the process of being normal, they can stop becoming acts of worship. And instead, it can become a contest to see who looks the most devoted and the most religious to God. It can become a checklist. It can become an obligation, a way to earn points with God and look good in front of other people. Beware of that. Check your heart. In fact, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who were in Jesus' audience at the time, were known for this. They were known for their practices of righteousness. But they were equally known as being judgmental and legalistic, prideful, and seeking promotion, political status, being invited to the parties and things like that. See, Jesus' warning might have been for them, for the Pharisees, and for his audience then, but it applies to all kingdom citizens. Worship, worship. And again, this is the point of the entire message of Jesus. All of this is a matter of the heart. Jesus goes deeper, so be careful. He's not teaching us to do more things, to do more, do more. He's challenging us to do the right things for the right reasons. Reasons that are God-focused, motivated by love. So the warning, beware, is to check our hearts. One way we might do this, we might imagine ourselves sitting there in the audience that day, but especially right now as we confront the words of Jesus, is to ask ourselves, when we do things for God, who gets the credit? Who gets the attention? Another question is, would you worship God if no one was paying attention? Like the things we even do in here in this room. What if there was no band, no building, no lights, no help, no leaders? Would we do things like give and pray and forgive and fast in secret? Just you and him. Just to be with your Father and honor him and worship him with your life. Check your heart. That's Jesus's warning. So then he launches into these practices. He's gonna give us these great examples. And the first one is giving. Giving. Giving as an act of worship. Maybe you don't think of giving as an act of worship, but Jesus connects the dots here for us. And specifically, he's talking about giving to the needy. He says these words, verse 2, he says, when you give to the needy. So when you give to the needy, not if you give to the needy, but when you give, this is expected again, you need to sound no trumpet before you. Don't be blaring, you know, don't do like the hypocrites do. This word hypocrite just means actors or pretenders, all right? Just don't put a mask on, pretend, oh, I'm doing it, you know, for God when you're really doing it for anyway. Don't do that. In the synagogues, in the streets, that they may be praised by others. That's not worship. It's a show. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. They've received their payment, their applause already. And then he says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's an interesting statement. He says, do it so that your giving may be in secret. In secret. Like even hidden from others. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Giving, look, giving, especially to the needy, matters to God. It's an act of worship. We need to do it humbly, without fanfare. This is what kingdom citizens do. They give. They give their money, they give their food, they give their time and talents, and they give with a heart to simply and authentically love God and love others. That's worship. And Jesus says something interesting here again. He says it over and over again. This word secret means hidden places. He's leaning into the idea that worship, even giving, is intimate. That should be between you and God. And in doing so, I hope you see these words. God sees us. God sees us. Y'all, this is incredible news. The creator of the universe sees you and I in secret. Now, this isn't meant to be a threat. It's not meant to incite guilt or duty or anything like this. What this is, this is an invitation to worship him, an invitation to union with him, an invitation to intimacy. And that, my friends, is the reward. This is the reward that he is talking about. God is the reward. His presence is, his attention is the reward that he is going to give to us. And I hope that is enough this morning. You know, because the truth of the matter is kingdom citizens understand that God is the reward. Being with him is the reward because the kingdoms and the empires of the world say, no. The reward is in chasing all these other things. When the fact of the matter is, if we would chase God's presence as hard as we chased after the rewards of the world, how would our relationship with God be? How much different would our intimacy with him and our relationship with our Father be? He is the reward. So giving to the needy just kind of helps produce that idea and it kind of helps develop that within us. So how do we do this? How do we give to the needy? Well, there's all kinds of ways. There's millions of ways. In fact, you're probably thinking about a few right now. Ways to give money and time and talents. We're going to talk about that more next week. But giving, whether you're on a budget or whether it's spontaneous, even here this morning at CCW, giving is an opportunity to worship. In fact, we already talked about the baby bottles sitting here at the back doors. You can grab one of those baby bottles and you can give to needy mothers and needy children right here in our community through New Generation. Grab one of those bottles, fill it up, and don't come walking back in here next week with your baby bottle going, look what I got, you know, that's not, look, it's not about that. You give anonymously, you give what you want, all right? Or I think about the food boxes that we give away around here. This is just a way of outreach, but man, y'all take these food boxes home and you fill them up generously and you bring them back and then we're able to bless the food needy in our communities. It's a great ministry. We don't ask for your name on there. We don't want to know. We just say, hey, look, thanks for giving. That's what kingdom citizens do. In a couple of months, we have a team that's going to Africa, Africa Hope Mission Trip. Some of you are already giving and giving and giving, not only to the mission trip, but to the people that'll be on the other side of the ocean waiting. They're needy. They're donating shoes and clothes and things like that. Look, donate, give generously, not just to Africa Hope, but to all our missionaries who, by the way, receive 14% of every single dollar given here at CCW. We want to give as a body of Christ to the missionaries. And speaking of offering, by the way, maybe you noticed, if you've been here for a minute, that we don't pass an offering plate. Why don't we pass an offering plate like a lot of church families do? Shh. Secret. We don't know, and we don't care what you give. It's an act of worship between you and God. So you give, you tithe, you from the heart to God, authentically, simply, and humbly. And I'm just so grateful today. And I got to say this out loud. I know, you know, I am so grateful for you and your generosity. This church body cares and they worship through giving. You give generously, and yet don't do it with trumpets blaring. And nobody's asking for a plaque on the outside of the building or a bench in their honor outside. And no one's doing it for any fanfare. You are doing it because you love God and you worship him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And praise God for you. You love God and you love the people that he made. That is enough. And that's worship. So what's Jesus say next? He goes from giving to talking to God, praying, right? How many of y'all like to pray? All right, because this is for everybody, all right? This is just praying to God, and Jesus incorporates this into these worship practices. Matthew 6, 5 through 13, these verses, he says, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. This is for everybody, all right? When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, these actors, these pretenders, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. They want to pray on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Yes, not worship. It's a show. Be careful. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, when you talk to God, our Father, when you pray, go into your room. And this word for room means your inner closet, this place in your room, the inner storeroom. Go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father in who is in secret. Wish I had time to talk about what that means, but truthfully, I don't even know. It's, how is our Father in secret? Like, we see him everywhere, right? We experience him everywhere, but it's kind of cool to think, like, God's just kind of waiting for you to show up in a secret place to meet with him. It's kind of cool. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying instead of making a show out of it, that we can actually pray in solitude. And he encourages this. Pray in solitude. Pray to God intimately, openly, in hidden places, because he is there in secret. Now, what Jesus isn't saying is don't pray publicly. All right, Jesus prayed publicly. We have all through scripture. His disciples prayed publicly. He's not saying don't pray outside, you know, or as you go through your day. No, Jesus did that too. What he's doing here is he is teaching the value of being alone with the Father. Why? It's good for us. Intimacy gets our heart right. And intimacy, you know this if you're married or if you have somebody really special like to hang out with. Intimacy happens in secret. And if you want union with God, don't neglect solitude. Get away. Find your closet. Shut the door. And pray to your Father in his presence. With him in worship. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Again, his presence is the reward. We get to spend time in the presence of our Creator. And when you pray, Jesus says, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do because they think they're going to be heard with many words. Be careful of this. And I know I've been around people who, it's almost like they rehearse their prayers, like they're so eloquent. And there's, and I think, oh man, I stink at praying. I can't pray. Look, Jesus saying, beware of all that. Look, it's not about your words. It's about your heart for God. Pray, talk to him. And be careful that you don't just keep saying the same thing over and over and over. Anyway, don't get into that, you know, because all of us have a different way of praying. It's not about that. It's about our heart for God. So don't be like them, the actors, the hypocrites. He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Come to him. And then Jesus gives us this kingdom prayer. for kingdom citizens. It's a pattern all of us can follow. Some of y'all know it as the Lord's Prayer. You guys familiar with this? In fact, some people call it Our Father, all right? This the whole thing. So it's just a pattern for us. And he goes, he says, pray then like this. He gives us this pattern for kingdom citizens. Say it if you know it. Our Father who is in heaven, yes, hallowed be your name. Okay, stop. Stop right there. I know y'all want to do the whole thing. All right, we're going to stop. All right, we'll just take a minute. The word father here, again, it means Abba. It is a relational term in Aramaic. It's like saying dad. It's like, hey, I'm going to my father. As a son, as a daughter, I'm coming to you, Father. Let that sink in. Father. But he's not just a father who invites you to his presence. He's also a father who is in heaven. Like he is beyond us. He is beyond earth and all that we know. And this, he says, pray, saying, hallowed be your name. You know what hallowed means? Yeah, it means holy. It means the name that we are praying, the God that we are praying to is to be worshiped. He is to be honored. He is to be revered. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. God is the one that we are talking. Don't forget that, man, when you're on your knees, all right? You bow down, you surrender, you give it all to him. He is God and we are not. Holy, 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 hallowed be your name. And then he says, pray this way, your kingdom come. Your kingdom, there's a kingdom citizen prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I read somewhere that to pray and actually mean your kingdom come means we also must be able to say, my kingdom go. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Man, this is a prayer of relinquishment, a prayer of surrender, a prayer of trust to God no matter what life throws at you. And some of y'all know this firsthand. You're like, what is going on, God? I just got to trust you with this. Your will be done. In fact, Jesus would later pray this very prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. Not my will, but your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. This is a prayer of a son or a daughter to their father. God, please just provide my daily needs, food, what I need to live on. It's personal. And in verse 12, forgive us our debts. God, please forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses, as we have forgiven our debtors. God, release us from what we owe you, from what we have done, the way we slip up and sin, fall short, and in the same way we forgive others. Forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or some translations say the evil one. This is so powerful because we're addressing God. We're trusting God as our leader. That's what kingdom citizens do. He is our leader. He is our deliverer, specifically to deliver us from evil, to lead us not into temptation. And it is powerful. In fact, this is what Jesus prayed in the wilderness. Man, God, this is the experience he had, and God is faithful. I tell you, this prayer, this Lord's Prayer in itself can bring a lifetime of worship and intimacy with God. Explore it, read about it, grab some resources to help guide you through this, learn this prayer. In fact, today, I'm so proud, I didn't know this was happening, but on Wednesday nights, Eli was right there in the gym with his youth leaders and our kids. What'd y'all do on Wednesday nights? Yeah, they were literally studying this prayer together. He set up prayer stations and they were doing that. So look, if you have teenagers in the room, talk about this prayer with them. Pray this prayer with them. Right now in Expedition Kids, our kindergarten through fifth graders, guess what they are learning about today? The Lord's Prayer. Kindergarten through fifth graders, learn to pray to our Father in the same way that we are today this morning. So take your kids home, go through this with them. Look, it doesn't matter how old you are. If kids can do it, we can do it. If we can understand this, we can learn to be with our Father. He is inviting us to talk to him, with him. And you can. You can. That's why I'm just so happy and proud that you understand this as a body. Again, at CCW right here, no, you may know this, but we've got a prayer ministry team that is seeking to develop a culture of prayer. We are not simply satisfied, okay, with being a church that prays. We want to be a praying church, a church that lives out their prayers, a prayer that bring everything to God. And that's the place that we want to be. I want to thank our prayer team. You guys see them up here on Sunday mornings, these intercessors, they come up. They're going to be here in a moment to pray with you. We've got somebody praying in the back over this service right now in a prayer room, which is open all week long. Monday morning, those prayer cards will be prayed over. We've got prayer lists and ministry, things going all over the place. Why? Because it matters. It is worship. That's what this is all about. The prayer cards, the prayer team, the prayer mentors, whether you're in a small group. I had an email just yesterday I saw come across my desk that a lady was asking about Celebrate Recovery and asking, do we pray and celebrate recovery? Yes, we pray and celebrate recovery. We pray in all of our small groups. We pray on Sunday mornings. Why? Because we are a church of prayer. We want to bring our love and our attention and our worship to God through our prayers. And it's something that we need to do. So if you're passionate about prayer ministry, I just want to invite you to talk to me after the service or whatever, get involved. Sorry, I get carried away, but that's the way it is. So he goes from prayer to this next very verse. He doubles down on part of the Lord's Prayer. All right, Jesus comes back to not the whole thing, but there's a certain part. I want you to see this. Forgiving as an act of worship. Verses 14 and 15. It's interesting. Of all the things he could have mentioned from the Lord's Prayer, he comes back to this one. If you forgive others and their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. Yow! Who needs forgiveness today? But if you do not forgive others of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Uh-oh. What is going on here? I mean, doesn't God forgive us of everything? We've forgiven him. I mean, aren't we forgive? You know, what's going on here, Jesus? Same thing that's going on throughout the Sermon on the Mount. He's going after our hearts. I want to beg you this morning, please don't underestimate forgiveness as an act of worship. And unforgiveness. Do not underestimate unforgiveness as an obstacle to worship. See, forgiveness from God and forgiveness of others paves the way to intimacy with God. And this is a declarative statement by Jesus. It is essential. It matters to God. To forgive means to let go. It means to send it away, to release the offense. And I know forgiveness is... It's difficult, man. There's lots we could talk about today. Sermon series. But look, forgiveness is about love. And it matters to God. And just as God has done for us, we must do for others. We need to forgive those who have hurt us, forgive those who owe us, who have offended us. Let go of unforgiveness and make that your act of worship. And as hard as it is, books are written on this stuff. Today, all I really have are Jesus' words right here in red and a plea for you and I to ask God to help us forgive. And even this becomes a matter of intimacy with God. We start to open up to him and say, God, I need your help forgiving. Figure it out. It's possible. In fact, I didn't put this in my notes, but if right now God is laying on your heart somebody that you need to forgive, you see in their face, you know their name, for any offense, whatever it might be. Unfortunately, even on Mother's Day, sometimes it's our own moms. I don't know. Just write their name down. Write it down. Let God search your heart. And anytime during the service at the end, you come up late at the cross, you can fold it up, put it in a garbage can, away, take it home, pray about it, but allow God to meet you in this area of forgiveness. If it's hard, you need to talk to somebody, come up at the end of service. We'd be glad to talk to you about this issue as well. And I got to get done. So there's one more thing. Fasting. Fasting. Fasting, by the way, means not eating on purpose. All right. So when, not if you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting may be seen by others. That's not worship. That's a show. Okay. Be careful. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, not if, anoint your head, fix your hair, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, there it is again, will in secret reward you. So fasting, doing without food for a set amount of time for the purpose of worship, is a practice to help us grow and grow closer to God. And it can actually support the other three things we've talked about of giving and fasting and forgiving. So for example, you can fast eating, and in the time you would spend to eat, then now you are going to pray. Or you're going to ask God to search your heart, maybe for unforgiveness. And, you know, and when your stomach aches or when you hurt, you say, hey, God, look, I'm trusting you with my hunger. I'm trusting you with this forgiveness issue, too. So see how this can kind of help out. So we've got lots of resources on this. You can grab them at the Next Step station. I just want to just pray that you would give this a shot. All right. Pick a time this week. Pick a meal. Don't try to, you know, fast for a month or a year all at once. All right. Just pick a time. Don't eat food. And instead, use that time to pray and to trust and to worship and receive God's reward. And in your notes today, I gave you a little exercise you can do to kind of help out with this. There's, again, four ways. We've talked about giving and praying and forgiving and fasting. I want to turn you back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and Matthew chapter 6, verse 18, the bookends of our passage today. And I would just ask you to pick one thing that we talked about today. Or pick all four, all right? You overachievers, all right? Like, go for it, all right? But beware of, for example, beware of fasting before other people in order to be seen, then you're gonna have no reward from your Father. So just pick one, right? But beware, all right? Take that seriously. But then that your fasting may not be seen by others, so you're gonna do this, but you're gonna be seen in secret by your Father who sees in secret and will reward you. So pick a time, pick a place, pick a practice, and begin. And don't wait till next week. Do it tomorrow, because your feet are gonna hit the floor on Monday or Tuesday. And all of a sudden you'll be like, wow, you know, and you're gonna look, make a commitment now to do this, and you'll be blessed by it. Again, there's all kinds of resources and things that can help you grow closer to God. I'm not going to go over those right now, but I just want to tell you, Josh has been working hard on some of these basics cards. There's one on prayer. There's one on fasting. There's seven others. You can see those at the Next Step station. You can go online, grab our Citizen Series guide. You can read good books like Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, which is something our prayer ministry is reading together. It's been an amazing resource. I'm putting the ball in your court, just like Jesus. Look, this is between you and God, to worship him with all of your heart, to love him. Find a way to do this. Make it a priority. That's what kingdom citizens do. It starts in the heart. So to kind of wrap up, I want to spend a moment, like 5 minutes, just showing you how easy this is. All right, we're going to use the Lord's Prayer as a time of worship today. All right, so I'm just going to ask you to take a few deep breaths. We're going to pray. And if you're wondering, well, this isn't in secret at all. This is in public. Look, our doors are closed. All right. No one's look, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just create a secret space right there in your chair for you and the Lord, for him to meet you here in silence. Take some deep breaths and know that God is here. He sees you. He sees you. He loves you. Shh. Be still. Silent. I'm going to slowly just recite this prayer of Jesus. And as I do, I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is here and he's interceding. He's praying over us, with us and for us, just like Romans 8 says. We're joining him and he knows our hearts. So let him fill in the blanks, even with these few words. It might be a time of worship and healing, and mostly a time of worship. pray. Our Father. Our Father. Abba. Daddy. Who is in heaven? Hallowed be your name. We worship you. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, hallowed be your name. Name, worship. Name, hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom. And your will be done. Your will. We surrender. Surrender our kingdoms, our world, our will. Your will be done on earth. Right here, right now. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread, Father. We trust you to provide. Give us this day our daily bread. We need. And forgive us. Forgive us, Father, our debts, our sins, trespasses. Forgive us. Forgive us. Search our hearts. As we also have forgiven our debtors. Those who have sinned against us, we forgive. And lead us, Father, not into temptation. Run away. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us. Deliver us. Deliver us, we trust you. Deliver us from evil. Our leader and deliverer. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, we pray, we worship with gratitude in our hearts. Father, may this song be a song of praise and worship, a prayer to you. Thank you for loving us. As we love you back. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.